Charles Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo, and that's all there is to that. How are you doing today? Is Wednesday, the 20th of May, 2026. Yeah, 2026. And, this is the Paisley Penny Arcade, and a strange name for a strange offering, that's for sure. And with a strange guy, and welcome. Welcome. Today's, I think, going to be a fun one for some of you. For others, you'll maybe not have so much fun, but you know who you are. Make note of that. You can make notes of that if you'd like. Audra, welcome. Already in the room. Good to see you. What room? What is this sorcery, you say? All you have to do is go to YouTube at Mo Abdelbaki. That's my name. First of all, Mo, M-O, A-B-D-E-L-B-A-K-I. That'll get you into the chat room. You have to sign on in, and you can talk to me. I like it when you talk to me. And that's kind of cool. So, come on in. Today's show is going to be, I think, interesting. If you are interested in getting more deeper and in-depth, same thing, and enhancing your skills in the divinatory arts, whether that be astrology or whether that be tarot or whether it be, no matter what it is, I Ching, and this is actually a relatively simple way to do it, but it is incredibly effective. And it works. I use it on any form of divination that I am working on at the current time. And it also helps me because I learn and I get valuable insight and information at the same time. We'll talk about that. I hope everyone is doing well. The world is just weirder than can be, I think. I happen to think it's weird as can be. A couple of weeks ago, Christine de Maurier was in this room, and I didn't know it. I mean, it was her screen name for YouTube, and I'm dense. I'm as dense as a really good chocolate malt. And I just didn't get it. So, Christine, if you're out there, or if anyone knows Christine de Maurier, and she's a member of the 1-2 family, as I am, and she's a numerologist par excellence, and she was in the room. Renee's in the room. Hello, Renee. Good to see you. And I tried to say her name, and I didn't realize it. I've known Christine for a long time, but I didn't recognize her nom de plume, or nom de scran, I guess one would say in French, scran. I'm sure it's screen. I mean, who knows what it is. But, so I feel bad about that. I don't feel badly. No, because when I feel, I think I feel okay. It's just I didn't feel correctly about it. And You feel bad, not badly, although there are things that we do badly. But that's a different story and not for right now. So, yay verily, I think today's going to be fun, and we'll get right to it, or at least in a second or two. What else do I want to talk about? I made some notes because I wanted to make sure I got to everything and didn't miss anything because, you know me, I get off the track or get on the track or just spin off the track. And I think this is all the stuff. And I just wanted to make sure that I got some basic ideas out. Today's show is about a really kind of a quick and easy way to enhance your skills in divination. And it's so easy, and really almost it's silly to even talk about it, except for the fact that it works so darn well. And I'm just going to say it. What you do is every morning, sometime before you really get involved with the day's activities, you do a very quick, down and dirty reading for yourself about the day. Okay? And this is something that you don't have to write it down if you don't want to. I no longer do write it down because I just kind of remember it. Now, I use the I Ching. Okay? Why? Because I've been involved with the I Ching for a very long time. And I use a system that's simple in that I kind of know the 64 hexagrams relatively well. I won't say really, really, really well because, you know, they're very complex. But I do have a pretty good idea of what they are. So when I find a hex, and I'm using right now, I've talked about the dragon beads many times, and I made this one, this set of dragon beads. These are knots. You can see here, these are knots. And this is a bear to make, but it takes time, and it's very meditative for me. And I just do it, you know, did it in the evening while TV was on, and so I could try these knots, you know, like a sailor. And it's a very specific pattern. And if you're interested, the pattern is at Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, Cottrell, C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L, .com. And it's at Memory Wheels. You'll find it at Memory Wheels. And you'll see this pattern right here. And that's what I followed. And I also used it to make this. Same pattern. And I used it, and although there are many others that you could follow, but I use that particular pattern, I use it to make this little. And it's, what it does is it allows you to consult the I Ching. And I wouldn't use it if I wasn't certain that it works. And I'm certain that it works. Absolutely 100% certain that it works. And it works stunningly well. Stunningly well. And so when you want to, let's say you're just kind of new in this type of thing, and you or tarot or whatever it is, or even you've been doing it for decades, right? And you decide you want to brush up a little bit on your skills. And you want to be able to do it a little bit better. You want to get a little bit better with it. So you say, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to brush up. Well, all you do is you, at some point, I always do it in the morning after I've taken my shower and I've got my clothes on. Although if something's bugging me, I might do it, you know, I don't do a whole lot stark naked, you know, but I usually do it after I take my shower and get my clothes on, and then I'll just do the oracle, you know, and I'll, you know, do take a look at it and say, okay, and then I'll see if there are any changing lines, and then I just make note of it. And it's, you know, things like this are good for the memory, I think. I'm getting along in years. And aren't we all? I mean, every day we grow a little bit older. And that's just one of those things that happens. And when I'm in the memory, you know, slot that I'm in, the yearly slot I'm in too, well, they kind of go hand in hand. And there are certain things. I mean, I was watching a show last night, and it had Nicole Kidman in it. Nicole Kidman in it. And I couldn't think of her name. And that's kind of normal in my age group. You know, I have a friend that we talk, and we'll sit there and try and think of a name of someone. And we're like, oh, what is that person's name? You know, that guy. Yeah, that guy. And we're just back and forth and trying to remember. And finally, you know, when you're not thinking about it, boom, there it comes. But I was determined to remember her name. And so I know she's from Australia. I know she was married to a country western star. I know she's in the middle of a breakup. And I know why. I could remember his name, and it was all around me, and I know they call her Nick, and you know, but when you work with things like this, it's good, because I know 64 hexagrams, and they're here, and I can access them at just about any time, but that's been a process of years. Stuff like this is good for your brain. Stuff like this is good for your mind. Now, I'm not saying you have to have them in your head. Far from it. That stuff like that can be very oppressive if you don't have it there. But it's certainly, you know, not a bad thing. I've done mine over the years. You work on it a little bit at a time. I've also worked on the art of memory, as it's called. It really is an art, and it's a science, and I had a talent for it as a kid. But you work on it. You work on it a little bit at a time, and you don't stress yourself out about it. But that's a part of the divinatory process as well, is that the mind has the ability to just pull things that are necessary out when you need them. When I was young, a young man in my 20s, early 20s, late teens, early 20s, I was a member of a trivia bowl team, and we were really good. We were good. There were four of us, and we had the ability, between the four of us, we whooped the best team in the country. It was so good that they accused us of cheating. That's how good we were. And it was at their trivia bowl. And no, it was our trivia bowl. That's why they accused us of cheating at Colorado State. And but we were, and the way I would describe it was that when I heard a question, I knew right away whether I knew it or not. And I would ring that bell, hit that buzzer, you know, and I didn't have the answer when I hit the buzzer. Right? But I knew that by the time I was called upon, I could retrieve it. Now, that's kind of what we do when we do divination. I'm working on some concepts right now about the mind and about divination and about getting the answers we need and how to access them. I don't know where it will go, if it's going to go anywhere. I'm not really sure how it's all going to work. I'm not sure if it's going to go anywhere yet, but who knows? Maybe it will go somewhere. Maybe it will be something worthwhile that I can share. I've started writing a lot of things. I invented a solitaire game I think it's fun. It's called Ghosties, and it has four different suits, you know, and there are ghosts and psychics and actors and contact devices or contact situations. And it's a deck of cards. I may go ahead and publish that too. Oh, speaking of which, last week I said that I would put a link to get to my cards. Well, I was going to do that. Now, after the show, an hour or two later, I went to go do that and found out that my comments had been turned off. I'm not sure why that is. Now, it's possible that my comments were turned off because I had said I was going to do that. The Autobots that are their Decepticons, I'm not sure which they are, they were listening maybe, and that may be forbidden in the YouTube world. I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to find that out. I don't want to do anything that will be against the rules. That's not what I'm about. So maybe that was just wrong to say that I would do that. But also, I have had some rather unpleasant comments hurled at me as of late. As of late. Extremely unpleasant comments have been made. And so one of those I absolutely had to turn over to the Autobots that be. And they may have turned off my comments to keep more of those comments from coming my way. So I don't know why that is. So today, I'm just going to tell you how to find it, okay? So if you're interested, you can, if you are curious, that you can procure a deck. I don't think that's a problem. You can always, the site is called Make Playing Cards, all one word. Well, when you're going to get it, it's HTTPS, and then the usual double slashes and all that sort of thing. www.makeplayingcards.com/ /mo-tarot. Just that simple. All right, HTTPS www.makeplayingcards.com/sell/mo-tarot. That'll take you right to my place where you can actually look at what I do. And then the rest is up to you, okay? So that's that. Because I don't know that I'll be able to leave a comment today. I looked at some settings and I don't know. But it's possible that because of the incidents that I had, that I may not be able to leave, or anyone may be able to leave comments in my thing again. Excuse me. So, and I'm not going to talk about what it was, because such things are not worthwhile. Petty. Just suffice to say, intolerance is intolerable, right? Okay. So, let me get my thing here that I just had open and then closed again, and make sure, just because I want to make sure that I can. We get all the things that I want to talk about. This is a pretty good technique. I've been doing this forever and ever, and I've really found that it quickly sharpens your skill to the point where you really get pretty good pretty fast. People don't pay this enough attention. I was on this Tarot Facebook group, and someone had mentioned that they do that every day. And I was like, good for you. That's a pretty good thing to do, because it actually works. Any oracle that is good and worth its proverbial salt, that's where the word salary comes from, being worth your salt. They used to pay Roman centurions in salt. Hence the term salary. So anyway, it will work. So you can tell almost immediately, let's say you decide you find a new set of cards and you like the cards, but you don't know if they're any good yet or not. So what you do is you buy these cards and you try this. And we'll talk about this in just a minute. So you set them out and you know, blah, blah, blah. And you get a feel for, are they, you know, going to work? And the cards just don't talk to you. You like the way they look. You thought they would talk to you. And usually about 3 to 4 days, you're going to go, nope, they don't talk. So what you do is you keep them because you like them and you hoard anything's anyway, you know, so that you keep them, or you may give them away, whatever. But the truth of the matter is that they you now know, because that's just, you know, but the process will teach you very, very quickly, because there is intent behind it. Okay, so an intense behind it, there's an intensity. So what you do is you just do this reading in the morning and just ask a simple question about the day. I do all the time. I would just say, give me some advice for the day. My questions are often very simple, like, how do I just navigate this day so that there is the least amount of tension? Yeah. How can I keep the peace? That's a good question. If you're married, and that's a question that you need to ask. I'm married, and that's a question I often need to ask. What will the day bring? You know, that's sometimes just testing it. How will the day be? I never ask questions like, let's say you have an interview. How will the interview turn out? Because you don't want to, you know, pull like the Death Guard, you know, or the Tower or something like that, because that can spook you. What I call fear-based questions, where it can go either really bad or it can go just fine. I try to stay away from those types of questions because the answers can spook you. And if they spook you, then it can really, you can be snake bit when you go into the situation. Don't do that. Don't do that. Ask questions that have not an open-ended sort of deal, but that have a smart sort of a way to attack them, you see. And have also a very coherent answer, so that you know one way or another, did this work? I'll give you some examples. All right, what else do I write here? How can I maximize my happiness today? That's an important one. What do I need to be careful of today? That's always a good one, too. What do I need to watch out for? I ask that one. And I get some very specific answers. Now, you may think, well, wait a minute, there's only 64 hexagrams. There are 78 tarot cards. But man, oh man, you would be surprised at the information that you can get. If you do horary astrology, you can get some pretty good information as well, you see. So, general is good, right? Yeah, but specific is gooder. Yeah, right? It's good asked. Be specific if you can, but without putting yourself into a cauldron of hot water. You don't want to sweat it out. All right, let me see what else I wanted to say. Yeah, fear-based. I talked about that, Mo. Relax. Yeah, don't do that. Don't look for solutions. Look for solutions, not necessarily a prediction. Now, what I mean by that, look for solutions, not necessarily a prediction, is you're not looking for a prediction about the day. You're looking for kind of an overview, like a weather forecast of the day, without looking for a weather forecast. That's what we have Doppler weather for. You know, don't waste your time on that stuff. You know, and so I asked one day, And with the I Ching, it's about moving lines. And there are ways to do moving lines with the oracle that I use. What do I do with it here? Oh, did I put it in my pocket? No. What do I do with it? That's strange. It's around here somewhere. I have other versions of it. But, well, here's one. But what you do is you look for the union label. No, you don't do that. But you look for the yang beads. So you run, you stop, and you say, okay, here's the yin bead. So the first one is not moving. The first line is not moving because that's a yin lien. It's black. It's not red. And so you do the next one. That's the second line. It's not moving. And so here's the third line. Okay, there's one. You have to have two for it to move. And so there's two. So that one would be moving. And so on and so forth. What do I do with that? See what I mean? What do I do with that thing? It'll show up. It's around here somewhere. I just had it. I usually keep it around my wrist. I like having it nearby because I'll just boom, pick it and, you know, check it. And so, so you can just, you know, you check and see what the moving variables. So I did one the other day. And it had like four variables. Now what that means is four moving lines. And you have to remember that. Now you might want to write it down in the beginning, but I'm used to it. So what I remember are the key points, and I use the words of the moving line to take just okay. Here's this, and the last one was the 47th hexagram, exhaustion. Really tired. And I thought, well, that's an interesting one. You know, okay, I don't think I'll be horribly exhausted. But it struck me that it was like, okay, this is going to be about someone being really tired. Well, I live with my wife, you know. And not only was that, but she actually said at a certain point in the day, you know, I'm exhausted. And I jumped because I was so startled. Because she doesn't always say that, you know. She often is, but she didn't actually say that. I mean, she doesn't always say that, but she actually did say that. And I jumped and she said, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing. You know, nothing. I don't discuss this. And there's a reason why I don't usually discuss this, because this is between me and the oracle. And that's what you should do. You should keep this between you and the oracle. Now, that's a very important point. And you may say, well, Mo, why? Well, because what you're doing is you are creating an intimate sort of relationship with the oracle. An intimate sort of relationship with the oracle and you. It sounds silly, I know, but it isn't silly. What you're doing is you are trying to connect in a way that you're saying, I trust you. I'm not second guessing. And don't second guess it. Don't ask again and again. One question, one forecast. Say, okay, I'm going to ask. You know, I'm going to ask. And you ask and then you say, okay. And you might jot it down. You know, I used to. You know, I used to in the beginning. And I started doing this when I was in high school. Was it high school or junior? No, junior high school. Yeah, seventh grade. Seventh grade. So I was, what, 12, 13? 13. Yeah, 13. But I was, you know, I didn't have any idea what I was up to. I didn't understand the cards very well. And so, and that's the other thing. When you really don't know the meaning of the cards, I'll go to the book. I'll say, okay, let me read this one. Today, I got, I'm telling you, it's supposed to be between me and my Uncle Yi, but I got opposition. That's a good way to do it. the 38th hexagram. And what it's an image, imagine a lake, if you will, with fire on top of it. Well, that's two opposed elemental forces. They're not the same. They're very different. And so you say, okay, well, that's very different. And I kind of got it. You know, I thought, oh, okay, I kind of get that. That was the that wasn't the final one. That was the final one. That's not how it started out. It started out. See, this is, I have to go back. Oh, I remember how it started out. Yeah. I remember. Oh, no, that's not how. That is how it started out. And it ended up as 19, which is approach. Approach. So what it basically was saying is that if you have a problem, if you have a situation where there is a situation that is where there's opposition, you know, where there's things aren't quite right, you have to take a leadership role and make sure that it works out. Now, that hasn't happened yet. But if it happens, I'll know that I can't just sit there and think, I'm not going to act on this. I'll just let it try and work itself out. I'll have to actually take charge. I've been told what to do. Now, this is amazing because if it does happen, I will, it may not happen, but if something does happen, I will actually take charge. I'll step right up and say, no, here's what I need to do. A leadership role is needed, and I'll do it because I was told by the I Ching. And you may think this guy's a lunatic or just stupid or simple-minded, but there have been some times in the past few weeks where a bit of advice was given me that I took, where it changed the outcome much to the joy. I mean, it was like, wow, this really made a big difference, and it worked amazingly well. So give the oracle a chance. I so believe in this, but I've also become rather, not addicted, but very fond of not having a major hassle in my life, because I can, you know, run the beads and say, okay, what do I need to know about the day? Give me some advice. Now, I often have gotten the 63rd hexagram, which is called Gigi, which is already done, pretty much. It's the next to last. It's the 63rd hexagram. It's the next to last hexagram, and basically it means done, finito. You know, everything's kind of finished up. And so what that has said to me is, everything is already congealed. It's finished. There's not a thing you really can do. And it kind of, I run the beads and I ask the question, okay, how are things going to play out? And it shows me things, what's going to happen. And so then I kind of know what to expect. And just like clockwork, there it is. Now, let's take this from the I Ching and put it instead to Tarot. Let's do some examples with that. Let's see, make this between you, and they're quite personal. You are getting to know each other, and that's the key. You really are getting to know each other. The Pharaoh Shuffle. I mentioned this on the Tarot group that I've been writing in, and I think people should look it up. That's a Pharaoh Shuffle. And you can do it with the biggest size deck you've got. And it happens just that easily. Pamela, welcome. Welcome. Well, I'm sorry you're late. You can catch up because we've already... But I'm so glad you're here. Yeah, you can catch up on the show. I already explained why I didn't put any comments in is because comments were closed to me. I couldn't put them in. I don't know if I'll be able to put comments on ever again. I don't know what the deal is. But I explained all that earlier. So let's talk about the Faro Shuffle for just a second. It's F-A-R-O. It was a game played in the Wild, Wild West. And believe me, the odds were for the house, as almost all gambling games are, I think. People say not true. I used to play a game in high school. I never played for money. Because I don't like that sort of thing personally. But it was a sucker's game. It was two queens, two jacks, two kings. Six cards. And I would say to anyone who wanted to play, I would say mostly guys would want to take me up on this because of all the testosterone at that age. And you'd say, you're so handsome, so, you know, machismo, all that sort of thing. I'd say that I will bet that you can't pick any two cards without picking a queen. And they'd say, that's stupid. I'd say, I know. I'm so stupid. I know. But let's try it out. Boom. Two cards, they'd pick at least one queen. Because the odds were enormously in favor of them picking. Try it. You may do it once or twice without picking a queen, but the odds are astronomically in favor of you picking a queen. This was an Old West bunco game as well. And then a young lady would say, well, let me play. I'd say, okay, do you want to play with a jack or a king? They'd say, sure. Which one? They'd say, how about a king? I'd say, fine, play with a king. And boom, all the time. And, some guy finally, he beat me because he crimped the corner, and I didn't notice it. And then when I finally noticed it, what I did is I took all the cards and crimped the corners of all the cards, bent them. And that way, when someone crimped a corner, I would just very surreptitiously bend all the corners and put them down. Yeah. And that went anyway. So, but like I said, I never did it for money because I didn't believe in that. It was about entertainment, you know. And it was very entertaining, I must say. So the Faro Shuffle, because they used like bunches of decks, and you could do it. So here, if you're a tarot reader, you take the deck and you split it about as in half as you can, and you square them up, and then you're going to take the two halves and put them together and just saw them back and forth a little bit. You see what happened there? And there you are, just like that. And they are just about a perfect shuffle, just about. Try with a regular deck of cards first. Better, you know, like a bicycle deck of poker size or bridge size cards, one that fits your hand. And if you do it like 8 times in a row, you'll end up going in their exact pharaohs. You'll come right back to the position they were in. But what I do when I read is and I do regular shuffles too, but when you're sitting, it's perfect because you don't have a table necessarily. And did you see what I just did? Maybe you didn't. You can do shuffles with imperfect batches. You know, they don't have to be always the same one. Good, Pamela, that's good. Yeah, you can catch up. This is very, very handy. You just kind of give them a little whoop, and they just zip together. It takes practice. You can look it up you're on YouTube now. Put it in, Faro Shuffle, and they'll teach you how to do it. It's, I learned how to do it from a book of card tricks by Harry Lorraine, who was a memory expert and an incredible card magician. He did sleight of hand stuff, and he was a cool guy. I used to love to watch his magic. But every now and then, since I do read reversals, I do a reversal thing like that. Okay, so let's talk about this. And if you need it, you know, just let me know. you know. Just let me know. So let's say in the morning, you might want to do a three-card thing, which is very simple. So you say, what do I need to know about the day? And you pull a card, and you get the Six of Swords, science. Okay? Don't think I can see through the card. I'm looking at the screen, and I can see what it is. So there's the Six of Swords, okay? And so you say, okay, I'm going to have to think. I'm going to have to really think keenly about something. So you put that down. You say, okay, what else do I need to know about that? I can't quite see that one. So that's, the Four of Swords reversed. About a situation, again, an intellectual situation, the Four of Swords, truth reversed, something's not going to, that I thought was good, that's not going to be good. And here we have the Four of Cups, luxury. So, you think, okay? And so you come up with some scenario that might make sense to you, might not. But when things happen during the day, what have you got? You've got those three cards in your mind. And so you think, okay, the one that I'm worried about is the Four of Swords reversed. So when something comes up, let's say suddenly you find yourself in an argument. Well, wait, everything was fine. What was this about? Is it about luxury? Is it about, what is luxury? Well, luxury is, and my take on luxury is mine is not necessarily a good card, as you can see. There's the Four of Cups, and there is the couple. They're obviously quite wealthy, and they're saying, no, I am not giving you a sou. I'm not giving you tuppence. You know, not giving you a single penny or a quarter penny or anything else. So what is it about money? Is it about something that was, is it about an intellectual property? Is it about someone thinking that you're trying to lord intelligence over them? What's it about? So what you do is you very quickly try to ascertain what the problem is. The truce, there's an argument, there's a problem, so you think about it and you try and, and so you might then go to your cards and say, how do I take care of this? And you pull a card, right? And it's the Fortune card. And so you think, okay, well, and it's right side up, thank goodness. In my deck, when you turn it upside down, the wheel is still turning, but it's pretty dark, and there are demons and so on, rather than bluebirds and canaries next to it. It's not as happy a card, not as happy a card. So, right side up, you can make it better. You just have to do something to make it better. You have to work at it, and the way you do that is with intelligence and with, charity, by being charitable. And by being charitable, what is that? Sometimes you have to acquiesce. Sometimes you have to take the high road and be generous of spirit. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth in a lot of situations? Do you see how this works? It really gives you advice on something. And that may not be what it is at all. But you wait for that moment. We don't wait for it. You just say, okay, this might happen, it might not. And but every bit of advice I've gotten at some point during the day, it's there. So I'm guessing that this will occur. And if it doesn't occur, I'll lie there in bed and go, oh, sure. I know exactly what that referred to. And if I can't think of it, I'll write about it. I write a lot. I like writing. I like writing longhand. Putting pen to paper thrills me. Having a good pen is a good thing for me. And writing, by the way, writing long with pen to paper uses a different part of the brain than this. And I like this too. But pen to paper uses a different part of the brain. And I'm convinced that this pen to paper pencil to paper, whatever, uses something that involves us metaphysically as well. There's something about it. I believe that writing fiction is connected to this as well, this work we do. Maybe it hasn't always been, but I think it does. There's something very spiritual about a lot of these things and how they merge together. What else did I write here? See, I get wandering. Keep it journal if you wish. I have many books. This is a new one. You've been thinking this is fancy. It's not fancy. I got this. I really, really like it. It was like on Amazon. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I don't have like tons of money or anything. So it was like $6. It was on sale. I will admit that. And it's not real leather, obviously. It's pleather of some sort. And the paper is excellent for fountain pens, which I use exclusively because I love them. I've always loved them. I started using them when I was in grade school. And I just like them. I like them a lot. They're numbered. These are numbered. I can't remember the name of this particular model. But keep an eye out for these things. And they're on sale. And so I bought another one just because the first one worked. And, it's got plenty of pages. And I'll use this up, and I'll go, because what I used to do is keep different colored notebooks for different work and so on, but I don't do that anymore. Keep a journal. This way you can keep track of the accuracy of what you see. It'll help you learn your personal language with your oracle. Now that makes perfect sense to me. Keeping track of your personal language with your oracle. Now, trust me, no two people read the same way. I was just looking, I was on Facebook, and there was a question on that tarot thing. Someone had put down, which card represents this situation? And it had a situation of surrender, being caught doing bad things. And I thought, to whom? To whom? And it was a stock answer. It was the Seven of Swords reversed. And I thought, come on. And I know this whole group is like, they use primarily the Rider-Waite deck. And I said, I know what they're looking for. They're looking for the... And there was the Five of Swords, too. Well, the Five of Swords is defeat. The Lord of Defeat. And the Seven of Swords, well, you know... you know, it was like, come on. Yeah, to whom? Everyone looks at the cards differently. And so you have these things, like... I found myself thinking, I don't find it helpful. So I didn't answer anything because I didn't like the general concept of this is what we do, you know? It just, you know, the Seven of Swords is the Lord of Futility. So there was nothing in my futility, putting your energies to something that will not pan out. So you reverse that and you're saying it's not that futile anymore to me. That there is some, you know, reason to do this. And there was nothing, because everyone was saying Seven of Swords reverse, Seven of Swords. And I thought, well, I don't know this card the way they know it because I don't use the deck they use. But the Golden Dawn and classic Tarot iconography, if you will, would say that the Seven of Swords is not like that, you know? It's like, geez. It didn't make any sense to me. I don't know. I was like, well, wait a minute. Well, if I'm correct, let's see. The that's Mercury in. And so the 7 is going to be the moon. And so it just didn't, I didn't, that wasn't it. The 5 of Swords is defeat, you know, defeat. And defeat to me is a very personal concept. Defeat is something that we say, I'm defeated, or not. Defeat is something that we agree to. Failure is real, but I think defeat is a state of mind. And so that's what I mean, is that these concepts are all individual. So that's what you're going to do, is you're going to create your own language with the I Ching. That's what I'm doing right now. I mean, I've been doing I Ching since I was 14. 13 or no, I think it was 14, probably 1968. So 14 years old, and yet now we're becoming much more. Don't take this the wrong way. More intimate. You see, it's like there's this deeper sense of understanding. I get you better. I understand you much better. And the I Ching is saying, finally, you old man, you finally are understanding me much better. I like it. And that's where you can be. Now, when you write something down, you, at the end of the day, can do a retrospective of your day. And it might suddenly go, whoa, that was it. You write about people. You write at the top. Maybe you write it at the top, the oracles. You see? Yeah. Yeah. Try it for a few weeks. Commit to the technique. Commit to the oracle. Because it's committing to you, whether you know it or not. Is there something on the other side of that? Oh, you know. You darn tootin' there is. The divination is a commitment. It can get you committed. I'm kidding. It can. No matter how else we view it, divination is connecting with something unknown. Would you agree with that? If it works, divination is connecting with something unknown. Not unknowable, just something unknown. There are people who claim to know how it works. Good for them. I don't know how it works. It's something outside of the normal experience. I'm not saying it's supernatural, because I don't believe in the supernatural. I believe only in the natural, just something that we can't quite yet understand. That's just me. And when we work with these things, it changes us. I maintain for the better. Well, I know for the better in my case. Because I was a schlub. Hi, I'm Mo. I was one much. I'm not that much like that anymore. Maybe sometimes. Yeah. Wonder. The things that we discover when we use this system, it's flabbergasting. It's remarkable. It shows you the genius of what's out there. And you do it every single day, and you will never lack for surprise and to understand the genius of what surrounds us constantly. And you wear it on your wrist, or you put it in a bag and have it with you all the time. All the time. And it's just, that had to make a loud noise. Or it's just this simple. You have it in your pocket. Okay? It's just that simple. All right. That's my time. I love you all, and I know I mean it, because I do. Do you know that Benjamin Franklin never got a patent on his stuff? Because he it belonged to all the people. I like that about Benjamin Franklin. All right. And I'm getting a call, but that's all right. Until next week, I wish you all peace, and I wish you all love. Take care. I'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye. Oh, I'm a little confused, but that's because of everything that's happened.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.